Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast where you throw a spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I am Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode is Fantastical Merchants or Marketplaces Part 2.
Yes.
Because that's a really fine line that and distinction without a difference, and I don't really feel like sussing it out, so we're going to hop right into it. Ollivander from Harry Potter, where he sold the wand. That's a great Fantastical Merchant.
Diagon Alley, generally. It's pretty cool.
That's a marketplace, not a merchant, but to your point.
But,
Father Christmas from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where more of a loot giver than a merchant. He didn't give the Pevensey kid. He didn't sell the Pevensey kids stuff. He just gave them, you know, he gave Peter the sword and all their gifts, but I think it still fucking counts.
You're really aggressive on this. I don't know why you got so aggressive on this episode. He is feeling the heat. In our previous episode of Marketplaces Part 1, you had a fantastic idea, which was the...
I did? A fantastical idea?
It was a gin merchant.
Oh.
Back rooms where you could buy gin. Gins?
It was like the wish merchant, right?
Yeah, something like that.
The wishmonger.
It was wishmonger. That's what it was.
Yeah. It was where you could sell wishes. What you sold. Yeah, I forgot. That was cool.
Go check out that episode from some amount of time in the past.
Yeah.
Every D&D campaign, every RPG has like a pretty famous or engaging magical item shop.
Critical Role has Gilmore. They have Pumat Sol. I think a Sir Victor in there too. Why not? Probably the most famous NPC from Critical Role.
But I think Gilmore is more famous
than Victor.
Maybe.
I disagree.
That's true. Victor's better.
Victor's way better. I think I would bet that more people got into Critical Role, including yours truly, because of Victor.
Fair enough. All right. But
because you showed me Victor. Oh. And then I was like, oh, this is Critical Role. Got it.
The irony that I gave up on it and you kept going. But that's how it goes. Yeah. But
some of us are loyal.
Really? That's the take?
I'm in a fucking mood.
He is in a fucking mood. Fantastical merchants are
fun.
They're fun.
And they're fantastical. And they sell you shit.
They're pretty self-explanatory.
Which is great.
So let's move into our ideas for our new fantastical merchants / marketplaces part 2.
What you got?
Thanks for the memories.
I suddenly had Fall Out Boy and Green Day, both those songs start playing in my head.
I have listened to a lot of Green Day this week, so...
Yeah, they both just started playing in my head at the same time. That was an intense early 2000s, late 90s moment for my brain there.
Well, what are your words for your idea?
Join my network. Tell me about Thanks for the Memories, Kyle.
So what if there was a place we could go and buy a memory that you will now believe is your memory? And this is kind of taking from two separate ideas that I think are good approximations-ish, is from Cyberpunk, they have the brain dances you can do where you can relive someone's experiences, but you know, you're reliving the experience, you know that's their experience. And then Harry Potter has what's the bowl where you put your hair in?
Pensive.
The pensive. But those are things where you get to view other memories. What if you can implant the memory and you believe it's your own? And these can be memories that, and maybe you don't believe it's your own. Maybe you just, it replaces a memory that would otherwise be there. So for instance, say somebody had a really bad childhood. They could buy the memory of a good childhood and help like balance out a lot of trauma and a lot of sadness that they would otherwise be experiencing. So you can like emotionally use it. But you can also use it for, I want the memory of a great adventure. So I will buy the memory of an adventure from an adventurer who has sold this memory. And we can get into how the memories end up here, either through memory harvesting or memory from like a dead person. You can take their memories out, or people can maybe sell their memories and extract their memories. I don't know. But the idea that you can buy memories.
Sorry, I need to interrupt you because Memory Harvester, spectacular title, spectacular machine or person or role. Memory Harvester, great, up there with Moisture Farmer.
Yeah, I think you're right. Memory Harvester is pretty sweet. What were your other thoughts?
So I have Legion. So number one,
we are Legion.
We are the skills and abilities that we as human beings have are because of memory.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about this.
So if, let's say you get the memory, an adventurer sells their memory and they're a fighter or a monk, and you buy them, could you then become a fighter or a monk? Because that could be a really cool class change mechanic in a game.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I'm inclined to say no.
Okay. Because that's, I have no strong feelings, just a thought.
I think it becomes more of, you know, an older person might be looking back at their past and have that memory and saying, oh, back in my day, I did this thing. But it doesn't mean they can do it now. You know, back in my day, I played college football. And say, well, can you play college football now? And like, no, I can't do that anymore. I'm out of shape.
That's cool.
And I think it's more that thing where the memory is like, it feels more of a distant memory.
Sure.
But it's in your brain.
So that's cool. That reminds me of, oh my gosh, what's his name? Taskmaster in Marvel Comics, who has photographic reflexes. So anything that he sees someone do, he can replicate perfectly. But he can't. If he hasn't seen someone do it, he can't do it. So he, for example, watched an Olympic diver, you know, diving board, swimming pool diver, and then went to a diving board and replicated the dive perfectly, but he didn't know how to swim because he had never seen anybody swim. So then he almost drowned. So like there's a fun way to play around with like the limits of memory and their impact on skill there and knowledge. So number one, number two, could you just buy a new identity? If you woke up, like I'm being dead serious to say like, I'm depressed. I'm tired of being this person. You're sort of allowing your past self to, you know, I mean, this is something Anakin Skywalker, you know, fucking Vader says like, oh, I killed Anakin Skywalker. It's like, well, did you? Like, maybe you remember an Anakin and that you used to be him, but you don't remember
that you're him.
Right. Like, there's a way to do that.
I think that's an interesting idea. And I think that works really well in a cyberpunk setting specifically. Because we lean into that idea of, you know, that is a place where it's nihilism and the world is dark and terrible and people are frequently trying to probably escape that and might want to rewrite their own memories to be a different person. So I think that is a cool alt on this idea. I was thinking more of it being a bit more piecemeal, where there's not every memory is available to buy because of the limitations of the human brain, like in the human psyche. Maybe like this where you add in your own little soft hard magic rules and say oh, you can't actually change a person's identity through this. You can only change subsets of memories, and there's like a limit to how big the memory can be. The memory can be of, you can give yourself a beautiful happy Christmas with your family, but maybe you can't rewrite the entire history of your childhood.
Right. The foundational source code of your personality. Yeah. Like that would kill you or
something. Yeah. But you can do little inception things.
Yeah. Though.
You can say, I gave myself one little moment of happiness that has had a resounding impact. And maybe these memory harvesters and memory planters are very good at figuring out exactly what they can insert that gets you the exact result that you want.
I love that. I think that's great. Third idea / question. I imagine that, particularly since we're going into the cyberpunk world, memory harvesters, I'm struggling so hard not to say mind flayers right now. Memory harvesters would be in very high demand in dystopian corporate worlds because the minute somebody gets fired, they sort of get severed, like in Severance.
On
the way out, like, oh, security is going to escort you out now after you've been fired, but it's not security. It's...
Yeah.
It's Kyle, the mind flayer, the memory harvester, who like taps you on the shoulder and wipes your memory of all of your memories of working there.
Yeah.
And so you've got these ghosts, these corporate ghosts wandering around with no memory of what they did for however long they worked at the company.
I forgot to shout this out at the beginning, but it was one of the huge inspirations for it was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Fabulous, tragic, fucking sad movie. Heartbreak, baby. But the idea that you are wiping your memory of a specific person, you know, like that you could target memories to remove them from your brain. It's very much like what you just said. It's also, it's the severance idea. It's how do you basically just,
Yeah. Because the implication, if you can buy a memory and that memory has to originate from another person, that means a memory, someone can take the memory, thus the memory harvesters.
Yeah.
If you are just creating new memories, then it doesn't.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter so much. I like the limitation of I can buy a memory, but it has to be a memory taken from somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
and it's like massaged to fit in my brain. But part of that would then have to be, oh, you as a person are too dissimilar from the source of this memory. Yeah. So it will not fit.
Yeah. And you can have,
like, we need an adapter or something.
You can have people who are also like maybe like a black market is arising of synthetic memories.
Yeah.
People writing new memories out of nowhere, but they are really unstable and they don't take well.
That's great. Super cool.
You can also go the pretty dark route that people are taking the shitty memories from other people and then implanting them as a torture mechanism.
I love that. This is a very cool idea. This is, again, so much more fun. All we're talking about is pretty baseline psychic abilities from like in an X-Men comic book world. These are all very basic psychic abilities, but when you put restrictions on them,
but I think it's also
cooler.
It's when you create a systematic version of it.
That's what I mean by a restriction. Like we're restructuring them.
Yeah, when you're at a structure. Like, it is restrictive, obviously, but it's like you create a structure in a world where this is more prevalent, where a normal person can, you can go into an office and get a memory harvester to harvest memories.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it really takes on this whole new world building element, because you take an idea that is, you know, like, it's not particularly insane. It's just like
very well established.
But then you spread it out.
Mm-hmm.
You normalize it,
mm-hmm.
and you play at the edges, mm-hmm. of how do you use this, and what would this mean for our world, especially if it's a really standard thing people do.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, what is your idea? Let's get into it. What were your words again? I don't recall.
I don't remember. Mm. What did I say? I think I said, join my network. My idea is not nearly, it's a fun idea. Yours is just way cooler, and I can already tell you that's what stuck for me. But
wow.
I don't give a shit. I'm cutting in line.
Ye of little faith, motherfucker. We're going to make your idea so good.
I'm pretty faithful. The idea here is the network.
So what do you do?
Stop. We all just send emails. Stop asking. I didn't know what else to call it. So the network is, for lack of a better idea, maybe we'll come up with a better one. The idea is that this merchant, through cunning, thievery, magic portals, time manipulation, I don't really care. This merchant very specifically can get you essentially anything in the world. But the trick is that they are not making something out of it. These are not like a merchant that sells things that were made bespoke for you. So it's not like, oh, I have a forge in the back where I make swords. You need a sword? I'm going to reach through a portal and grab a sword from somebody else and give it to you and sell it to you. That's how I get my stock, is by portaling and taking shit from other people. This is very important, because this is how you get very bespoke and rare items. Also, from a gaming perspective, how you could make an end boss fight very easy. So say, for example, you're going up against someone and you know they have a Vorpal sword. If you could get, in D&D world, 50,000 gold, you could go to this person and say, hey, I need you to reach into the Death Knight's camp and get me their Vorpal sword. And they would do that. The trick is, though, that in order for you to become a customer, you then are vulnerable to theft and being pilfered. So it is all a network. It is like equivalent exchange, basically, where you can get what you want, but you have to be vulnerable also to the portaling.
Interesting. I think it's a good idea. I'm trying to process two separate ideas currently, which is with the network and without the network. Because I don't think the network is essential.
Nah.
I like, as in the you bought in, now you're vulnerable. I don't think that is essential to the system, but I think that is also a good system. My mind, I like it better that way because of the potential of chaos that you can accidentally do. So like, if this merchant, if you say, I want a gun, and they reach through a portal and they grab the gun of Don Corleone.
Right.
You just made an enemy and you don't even know it. You know, like you know, the handcrafted, monogrammed weapon of a mob boss. You've accidentally stolen. And now you have it. And then what do you do?
If someone sees you use it. Here's the part that I like about this is that it is random. You did not ask for Don Corleone's gun.
But did you ask for a very finely crafted gun?
I don't know. I like this because I like the monkey's paw of it, right? Is you can ask for a very specific item. It's like, I want Kyle's watch. He lives in, you know, this is where he lives. This is where he will be. This is where the watch will be at this time. I want this very specific item. Uh-huh. You can do that. Imagine if you say, oh, I need a knife, and they hand you a scalpel, and now suddenly a doctor performing surgery does not have a scalpel that was just previously in their hand.
Hopefully they have a secondary scalpel.
One would hope, but the ripple effects of that are fun to play with.
Yeah. And I feel like the ripple effects, because it's a really good point. And maybe the ripple effects are more significant with the network. In network versus out of network. Welcome to Insurance Talk. I'm Kyle. So I think in network, you'd probably have more ripple effects because you would have probably more seedy individuals involved.
Right.
Powerful. Powerful and seedy. So you'd get more interesting items, and you get people who also know that they've been taken from because they know they've bought into it.
Right. If
you
go, so they're likely to be on guard for...
Yeah. I think it's more like my concern is I want the power players of the world to be in network.
Yeah.
And if they're not, it would really be really disappointing to me, because that moment that you steal the king's crown.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like usurp the throne somehow, because the crown somehow means so much. You take the ring from Frodo.
Right.
You know, like, can you do that? You know, where are the limitations on this? You know, I don't know. Who is this guy?
I don't know.
Is it just like one of those mysterious hooded figures that no one's ever seen their face? And
I imagine they reach into the hood.
Yeah.
Or into the robes and just pull it out.
Yeah. There's a guy called Xur from Destiny Games who is a magical vendor who shows up only on the weekends, and he sells like the best stuff in the game.
Nice.
And he appears at a random spot, and he wears a hood, and his face is like a bunch of like, it's like tentacles. Doesn't make any sense. And it's like, he's just this like all knowing bizarre being who just sells stuff. Look up X-U-R. Xur.
X-U-R.
Yeah.
I got that this idea was partially inspired because I was thinking merchant too literally, probably, because I was thinking buying and selling of a physical thing, like a merchant in a game. I started also thinking about a time travel merchant who's not traveling through time themselves, but they can reach into the past.
What the fuck?
Oh.
Why don't we unpack that?
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Why was that not that?
I don't know why it felt too easy.
I'm going to go back in time, and and we're going to now add into this conversation that the network now includes anybody in the history of the world who has taken shit using this guy.
Yeah, perfect.
Because then, and here's where it can get really weird. If you want to do it with some crazy time travel shit,
I love crazy time travel shit.
Say you're an Egyptian pharaoh.
Yeah.
And you have found the merchant. You use the merchant, and you are only able to take things that you can know to ask for. So you ask for stuff that is antiquity based.
Right.
But what if somehow this merchant, we'll just call him Xur, accidentally somehow reveals there's weaponry of the future, and you ask for one of those?
Yeah.
And then this pharaoh all of a sudden ends up with a fucking howitzer. and just bombs the shit out of Greece from halfway across.
Sure.
And everyone's like, what the fuck? You just change the history of humanity. You just say, oh, I got a spaceship.
Yeah.
Back in ancient times. You know, like you can
do some wordplay with it too. You know, imagining this pharaoh says, I want, again, this would just be for the moment and the story, not for practical impacts on the world, but says, I want the ultimate symbol of power. You know, they're thinking, I'm a pharaoh. I have the headdress and a scepter. It's like, I want the ultimate symbol of power from the future. And someone hands them a ballot.
Oh,
just like a single paper ballot.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, some book of the future. It's like,
yeah,
here's Einstein's theory of relativity written up in German.
And
you're like,
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what this is.
This, right.
You know,
that type of, I think you could play with that.
Yeah.
Both ways with the network, with this type of vendor, I wanted something, again, sort of monkey's paw, where you have to be very careful with what you ask for.
Yeah.
You have to be very specific with your wording. I like the idea of the time travel merchant because I thought that was fun. It's like, oh, this sword is really great. When did you get it? It's like last week. Because they reached into last week to get it. You can use it for a limited time, but then I have to be able to put it back last week.
So
maybe they have to replace it too. I don't know.
So maybe that's a separate merchant that, like, you have Xur, we're a portal guy, but then you do have just a merchant who is a time traveler who literally just has a stall and he has a variety of goods that are available, and they are, you know, pearls from, you know, 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
They're a sword from like a last year. They're a thing from the future. They're a variety of
things. A ray gun.
Yeah. There's a variety of things that are like valuable and taken from different points in time.
Yeah.
But there's discrete options for you. And they're all incredibly expensive. And they're not like publicly available. Like, you need to know where this guy is.
And also I actually am going to add that if you get something from him, from this vendor, from him or her, from them, it is effectively single use only, because it has to be put back where they got it, because otherwise the time stream gets fucked up. So it's not like you can get instead of a Holy Avenger, you could in game ask for, let's say, a lightsaber.
Yeah
get it, but then you have to get it back very quickly. You are on the clock get it back, otherwise they will find you and probably kill you for it, because it is that serious.
I like its use in that regard for less, you know, weaponry stuff, and more for, say, you have this is more like an urban fantasy or some kind of story like that, where you have a gala and, you know, very much like the pretty woman, like, what jewels did I give you kind of thing. Yeah. But it's like, oh, here's Heart of the Ocean or whatever. Yeah, like some
Hope Diamond.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, which is still around, but like they're able to time travel and get some, you know, headpiece or dress or like iconic thing from history that, you know, like, here's Marilyn Monroe's dress that she wore in that famous photo. And like, oh, aren't you special? And like, I don't know, like, you can create that very like interesting, like, romantic moment, but you can also create this like interesting cultural touchstone moment by reaching into history and saying, you can don this thing.
Yeah. Could even be something very powerful too, to say someone is grieving and I brought you a meal that the person you loved who recently died made at one point for you to, you know, something like, I don't know.
My head just went to a really fucked up, crazy version, like a very cult-like of a cultish religious leader who's convinced themselves they are like the second coming, and they go back and they get Jesus's
the true cross.
Yeah. Everything on the cross.
Yeah.
And they're like, I will be crucified exactly like Christ.
Dope.
And like,
fucked up.
And they do it voluntarily as like a show, and everyone's like,
fucked up, but dope.
There's a great quest in Cyberpunk 2077 that is very reminiscent of this, which is kind of where I'm inspired from.
And all you need to do is put a rule on it that it can't be humans. Like, humans won't survive the time travel. So you can't like bring a person back from the dead, or a creature. Like, it's like a living thing will not survive the time travel. So no plants, people,
it's
animals.
It has to be an object.
Yeah.
And
or a dead thing like food. Nah, it doesn't matter. People won't survive. That's all you need to say. Doesn't matter.
People and animals. Just leave it at that. You can get plants.
Fuck it. I don't give a shit.
Plants are durable.
They're fine.
Yeah.
They're not durable. I fucking kill plants so easily. I kill every plant I come into contact with.
Have you tried watering them?
Yes. They still die.
Have you tried not ripping them out of the pot?
Yes. They still die.
This is very intense.
I don't want to be this person. I don't want to cause the death of all these plants. Maybe, I want to be able to care for them.
Maybe you should stop buying plants.
I don't.
Maybe your wife should stop buying plants.
You tell her that.
I will.
Okay.
I'll text her now and say, stop buying plants. Ethan keeps killing them. All right. Well, let's move on to, I think, our frozen lasagna. Go for it.
Changeling vendor who can basically pretend to be anybody that you need them to be for any amount of time. So if you need to get into the White House, you can have a shapeshifter come with you and they will pretend to be the president to get you into the White House. Also has some weird fuck up brothel implications.
Interesting. But, yeah. It's a service. This is a service vendor more than a goods vendor.
Yep.
But also.
Well, so are the memory harvesters.
Yeah.
So,
it was just like,
you need a change. Like, yeah, I will pretend, I will mask up and get you where you need to go. Or if you want to show up to a dinner party with Scarlett Johansson, why not? Ding.
Very video game like, but where you can go to a merchant and you can buy someone's capacity. You can buy somebody's strength and they will literally sap the strength and give it to you. You can buy someone's intellect and they will literally make somebody dumber to give it to you.
Nice.
And they have I imagine this is going to have lots of slavery involved and probably like incredibly dark and not people doing this voluntarily. But, you know, you go to a merchant and say, I want to be X thing more. And they'll say, great, we will provide that by taking it from somebody else.
I love it.
And it's like, especially if you play it in a TTRPG, you say you can get a permanent stat boost, but you have to watch somebody suffer while you do it.
Yeah.
And like really create like a little bit of like an edge. Like, yeah, this is a service that exists. Are you willing to go there RP wise?
Sure.
And maybe not.
Sure.
But
yeah. I dig it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So what's stuck for you?
It's some memory harvesters. It's all that. I just the whole thing. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Like, just go back. We can break it down, or you can just go back and re-listen to it because it was all great. I loved it.
Cool.
Whole thing. What about you?
The memory harvesters.
Yeah, it's just great.
I think they're really good. I think for all of your groaning about your idea being
lambasting.
Yeah, but I think it is. We got a lot of meat out of it because there's a lot. There is a lot there.
Yeah,
I don't think it's.
That's the thing that's both cool and hard about it is that it's too big.
Yeah,
I think as an idea, I think what I like about the memory harvesters is that it's not Jean Grey telepathy and mind reading and all this other shit. It's very, very specific. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's
contained.
It's very contained. And I think that's what makes it so much more interesting and so much more useful for both character development, storytelling, and as a mechanic.
Yeah.
Within the world.
I agree. But I do think, you know, the time travel merchant can be really fun. And I feel like mine is more of a grounding world building element. Yours is more of a fun thing to throw into a world.
For a game
to just add a little bit of like, zhuzh it up a little bit.
A little pizzazz.
But it'd be hard to write a story around that or really put it into a world
it's too
that's
big,
more complex.
But it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. And it's just, it's too messy.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of it. It's like it's too messy to deploy as a story, but it's if you're playing a game, nothing too messy about that. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Time travel would be awesome.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, if we pay you this much money, we can take the weapon from the bad guy that we're fucking furious at as players. Oh, your players would eat that up.
Oh, they would start businesses to earn the 50,000 gold.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is really fun.
Yeah.
Like its ability to really rile up a table.
Yeah.
Top notch.
Yeah. So, cool.
Cool. All right. Well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye. Also, be sure to leave a review on whatever podcasting app you use. Thank you.